So we're doing the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Bet Amud Aleph, four lines before the lines get wide. Amar Rav Chisna, Abali Malech En Morin Lo. If someone comes and asks permission, he says, should I go do it? I want to be a zealot. So he asks the court, should I kill him? So En Morin Lo, we don't tell him to do it. And now this is a very interesting halacha. We have levels in halacha. Meaning there's a time that we paskin halacha and we publicize it. There's a time that we paskin halacha and we say it to individuals. There's a time that we paskin halacha and we don't tell anyone. That's called halacha ve'en morinkin. That's the halacha, but we're not going to go tell anyone. Rav Chisda says the halacha is that a kanai, a person who's a zealot, should kill the person if he sees him at the time. But if he's coming and asking us questions, we're not going to tell him to do it. That's the halacha is only if he's not asking. If he's aroused to do it on his own. You came at the perfect time. I'm actually just starting this piece in the Gemara. Ibet Amud Aleph, over here. Itmar Nami. Itmar is a halachic memra. We have a halachic quote that supports what Rav Chisda said. Amar Rabba Bar Bachan, Amar Rav Yochanan. We have a quote from Rav Yochanan. Now, just so we understand the figures. Rav Yochanan was the first generation of Amoraim. He was a contemporary of Rav and Shmuel. He has a lot of halachic weight. And he compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. He was the chief rabbi in Israel. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yanai and a Rebbe of Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas. Rav Chisda was a contemporary of Rabba and Rav Yosef. He was the Rebbe of he was the father-in-law of Rava. Abaye and Rava is the next generation. Rav Chisda is one generation up. So Rav Chisda initially told us, if you come and ask me, I'm not going to tell you to do it. Because you come and ask the courts, well, no, we're not going to tell you to do it. You should have done it. You should do it on your own. But we're not going to tell you to do it. And oh, so I thought that, but that's not what it says. I don't know.
In other words, opposite. If we already asked the question, then he's out of the gather of Kanai. Kanai has to happen on the spot.
It seems that way. Yeah. It seems that way. I'm not sure if that's how to read Rashi. Let's read Rashi together. I wasn't sure how to read Rashi. Rashi says, V'amar Rav Chisda, you have to go up a bunch of lines, Kanai abali malech bevetin, when a Kanai comes to ask in court, uvishat ma'asei mifgabo, and he's asking us now. Meaning there's a court in the next room, and he sees what's going on in the other room. He runs in and says, should I kill him? So then, en morin lo. We don't tell him to do it. Shelo nemra ela lamekane me'atzmo. So I don't know how to read those words, lamekane me'atzmo. I wasn't sure if it's saying what you're saying. That if you didn't do it on your own, then you're not a real kanoi. I don't know. I don't know if that's what it means to say. Meaning, is it a halachic criterion, or is it a personality criterion? Right.
In other words, you have to know the halacha, but you didn't ask the question. That's what it says. In other words, you have to know the halacha in order to do it. Then you're kanoi. But if you did something and you didn't ask, and you don't know the halacha,
then you're not kanoi. Then you're a murderer. Right.
Did something without knowing.
Right.
Right.
So I don't know. So that's why I'm not sure how to read the Rashi. I don't know how to read those two words in Rashi. Lam kanei me'atzmo. Back to our Gemara. Amar Chisda Abali Malech En Morin Lo. Itmanami Amar Rabba Bar Bachan Amar Rav Yochanan Abali Malech En Morin Lo. If he comes and asks the question, we don't tell him to do it. Velod Ela Shim Piresh Zimri Varago Pinchas. If Zimri would have separated himself from Cosby, if he would have pulled back, and then Pinchas would have killed him, Ne'eragalav, he would have gotten killed over him. He had no right to kill him once. He could only catch him B'Shas Ma'isa. If Zimri would have turned around, seen Pinchas and killed Pinchas, then in Ragalav, he wouldn't have gotten killed over him. Why? Sharei Rodefu. Pinchas is a Rodef. And that's a very interesting thing that the halacha is telling us. And this is a nuance, a gentle point in halacha that we have to get used to. We think of halacha as black and white. Mitzvah, Avera, Mutar, Aser. Asay doche lo sase, right? You have a mitzvah sase, and then you have a lo sase. And sometimes the ase overrides the lo sase. Did I do anything wrong when I did that ase? The answer is yes and no. What does that mean? That means if you ask me what you should do, I'll tell you do the ase. You'll ask me, am I perfect? I was over on the lo sase. I'll say, you're not perfect, you need a kapara. The Gemara in Zvachin tells us, that a person who didn't asay doche lo asay, so he gets a kapara, but you see, he needs a kapara. So you say, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me to do the asay? But it's not perfect, right? It's not perfect. This is a nuance in halacha, that sometimes you have situations where you ask the halacha, what should I do? And the halacha says, do that. And you'll say, but is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. It's an imperfect world. You have to do it, but you still need a kapara. You'll get the kapara because you did what was right. But it's still not perfect. So let's take a scenario. A woman's pregnant, and the baby's coming out, and the doctors see that it's one or the other, right? So the baby has a din of a rodef. The baby's going to come to you and ask you, what am I supposed to do now? You're doing right. You're 100% right. You didn't do anything wrong. But there is a fact of life that right now you're a rodef. Against your will, you have no choice. Pinchas, did he do right going after Zimri? Yes, he did right. But his halachic status at that moment is a rodef. And so that's an interesting balance that the halacha gives us. On the one hand, you ask me, should I do it? Yeah, go ahead, do it. But it's at your own risk. I'm not guaranteeing you're going to walk out alive. A fireman comes and asks you, should I run into the building to save people? So sometimes we'll say yes, but it's your risk. You know, that's your call. Sometimes we'll say no. That's why there was a time when they paskin, no more Hatzalah members in 9/11. No one got killed, right? They all pulled out. That's a very tough call. But Pinchas over here was doing what's right. And if Zimri would have turned around and killed him, he would have been in the right too. Now, part of this is also the halachic status of Kanoim Pogimbo. Because you wouldn't say if a guy's in Beis Din and the executioner is coming to kill him, that if he picks up a sword and kills the executioner, you're okay, he's a rodef. No, he's not a rodef, right? There you wouldn't say that. But here you do say that. So this is going to, we're going to have to bear this in mind, because this will shed some light on what the Ramban had said, that he's chayav misa, it's like Beis Din. Well, it's not exactly like Beis Din, because the Gemara just said he's a rodef, right? So that's a balance which we're going to have to work out as we go along, and it will have some impact on our main discussion about whether the chayav misa of Boel Aramis is a chayav misa midoraisa, right? If he's chayav misa, so then how could he kill him when he's on the way to kill him? Back to our Gemara. You guys with me? Was that clear? Back to the Gemara. Fire away, yeah.
Pinchas would be considered a rodef if Zimri had pulled away.
No, even if he wouldn't have pulled away. It says if Zimri would have turned around, still together, and he turns around. Yeah. Yeah.
What about someone that someone killed,
Oh, so that's a machlokas in the Gemara. Perfect question. That's a machlokas in the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Makos, two opinions in the Gemara in Makos. It's a good question. You're right. That's an excellent analogy. Right. But there it boils down to another question of what level of a mitzvah is there for a goel adam to kill the murderer. But that's a good question. Right, right. That's part of the discussion there. Right, you're on the ball. Yeah. You're right. Vayomer Moshe el Shoftei Yisrael. So it says over there, Moshe called in the judges to deal with what's going on. Halach Shivto Shel Shimon, that they have to judge. Look at what's happening. So the Am Yisrael is going with Bnos Midian. Moshe calls in the leaders of each tribe. Halach Shivto Shel Shimon, it says Zimri ben Salu. They went to their Nasi. Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai, which the Torah calls Zimri ben Salu, and we discussed this in passing on Shabbos Shmos, on Friday night, when we were discussing that Lo Ish Dvarim Anochi, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, is the last letter spell out Shammai. We mentioned then that the names in Shas and the names in Tanakh are not always the real names of the people. Sometimes the name represents a certain midah. The name represents a certain force in the world. If Chazal tell us that Pinchas is Eliyahu, does that mean literally it's the same person? Or means they represent an identical force? If Chazal tell us Lavan is Bilam, is that the same person or is it the same force in the world? So over here too, Chazal tell us that Zimri ben Salu was Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai. So then it could be that he was named Zimri, not because that was his name, but because Zimri means a certain force in the world, as the Gemara is going to say later on. Amrulo, Hen danin dinei nefashot v'ata yoshev v'shotek. So they turn to the leader and they say, they're judging us, they're going to kill us. Why are you silent? Me'asa, so what did Zimri do? Amad v'kibetz chavtal delef mi'Yisrael. He got up and gathered 24,000 from Israel. V'alach etzel Kozbi, and he went to Kozbi. Amal la ishmi li. He said to her, come be with me. Hishmi means be intimate with me. Amra lo bat melech ani. She said, I'm a princess. V'chen tziva li avi. My father commanded me, lo tishami ela legadol shel bem. You save yourself for the biggest among them. Amar la afunasi shevetu. He said, what do you think I am? I'm a leader. I'm a nasi. V'lo ad ela shu gadol mimenu shu sheni lebet mu shishi lebet. And he said, what do you want? I'm the head of the second tribe. He's only the head of the third tribe. He's the head of Shevet Levi. I'm the head of Shevet Shimon. I'm bigger than Moshe. Tafsa beblorita. He grabbed her lock of hair. Ve'viyatz el Moshe. Brought her before Moshe. Amar lo ben Amram. Zu asura umuteret. So he said to him, son of Amram, what do you say about this woman? Am I allowed to, or is she prohibited? Ve'im tomar asura. If you're going to tell me she's prohibited, bat yitro mi etira lecha? Who allowed you to marry the daughter of Yisro? So now, in the ruckus that's going on, really, that had no value, that claim. Moshe married her before Matan Torah. Mm-hmm. So what will you say? You'll say, but she wasn't there at Matan Torah. It's a machlokas Tanoim, it's a machlokas in the whether Parshas Yisro, when Tzipora and Yisro and everyone came, was that really the way it's written in the Torah, before Matan Torah? Or did it happen after Matan Torah? Machlokas. When did Yisro, when were Moshe's own kids at Matan Torah? Machlokas. So, if you learn... Oh, right. So this Gemara seems to go with that opinion that it was later. So you'll tell me, so then how did Moshe stay with Tzipora? Wasn't there a gear? So the Pashup shot is, there was a gear. It was nonsense what he's saying. But Rashi writes, Moshe kodem matan Torah nasa. Uch shenitna Torah kulam bnei noach hayuv, nichnasu lichlal mitzvot, vehimahim, vegirim rabim shel erev rab. Rashi says, what do you want? Everyone became gerim then. Aye, she wasn't part of Klal Yisrael. You had a lot of Erev Rav. Everyone came into Klal Mitzvos and Matan Torah. So this is an important Rashi. First of all, did they all remarry after Matan Torah? I would think yes. Rashi doesn't seem to say that. Because then Rashi should have said she was Misgayer at Matan Torah and they remarried. No? Isn't that missing from Rashi? Rashi saying Moshe married her before Matan Torah. That's not the point. According to her, if he remarried her after Matan Torah, then Rashi should have said Moshe remarried her after Matan Torah, after she did Gir. Rashi doesn't say that. That's not what's written in Rashi.
Yeah, the Matan Torah also foretold the point of marrying also.
So there's a Gemara in Yuma. There's a Gemara in Yuma that needs work. The Gemara in Yuma says, Vaishma Moshe et am bochel mishpechotav. Moshe heard everyone weeping over their families. What were they weeping about? That suddenly they couldn't marry anyone they wanted. And before the Torah was given, you can marry your aunt. Now the Torah is given, you can't. You can marry your niece, you can't marry your aunt. So they were weeping over this, that they couldn't marry whoever they wanted, whenever they wanted. Really? If everyone was gerim, you could still marry your sister, your daughter, you can marry everyone. You can marry more than you can marry before the giving of the Torah, because now no one's related.
What happened
in Yuma?
I
have to look inside.
Okay. Is there against something like that? Someone's parents named Gaia.
There's an Isser Drabanan. You're right. But who said it was around then? You want to say it was a Takana?
It's not, it's your family. So even such a thing is not considered the meal.
Okay. So you're right. Midrabanan, not Midoraisa. And secondly, there's a big discussion. Where do we get this concept from? Gershon Skar Kekotan Shanola Dami. Everyone says it, right? Where'd you get it from? So this is part of that sugya. And this Rashi is a very important Rashi when we'll one day get to learn that sugya. Rashi over here is telling us a mouthful. He's saying Moshe married her before Matan Torah. And Rashi does not seem to hold that everyone got remarried after Matan Torah. And then the question is, how does that work? Now you'll ask me, what do I care? So it's not just historical. All of the laws of Gir are really learned from Matan Torah. Meaning we derive from what happened at Matan Torah how a Ger is supposed to be Mitgeya. The carbon they brought, a Ger has to bring. the Dambris, so they had Dambris, we have to do Dambris. The mikvahs, okay, so the Gemara works out where they all went to mikveh in preparation for Matan Torah. Okay, so I'm saying this has to be worked out. This is a very difficult Rashi. It would be much simpler to say what you and I were saying, right? That it's we're going to go with the pshat that she came after Matan Torah. If you want, you could say Moshe knew already he was never going to be intimate with her again. The Boshom said, Vatapa Modi Madi, so it wasn't necessary, but then you'd say, where was Tzipora? Why didn't she insist to be Megayer? So this needs work. This is, yeah.
What? So let's say they didn't get remarried after the Matan Torah. So what's the problem here?
You mean it was Moshe living with his wife without her getting remarried?
Two people are, you know, they're shacking up in a house.
Roommates.
Is the Kohen then allowed to go marry the lady? I mean, it's
no. So
assume that they're together. No.
That's two questions. What you just asked. I mean, that's two separate things. Okay. A Kohen marrying the woman. You're right. A Kohen is only a sul bizunah.
So that's something there to it, right?
I'll give you more backing to what you said. Kodem shenit natora liYisrael. Has the Rambam begin the laws of marriage? The Rambam begins in a funny way. He starts with a story. He doesn't do this otherwise. He says, you know, before the Torah was given, if a person wanted, he'd meet up with a girl in the market, and if they decided, they'd go, like you just said, live together, and they were married. But then the Torah came along and said, that's not the way it's going to work from now on. You can't do that. From now on, you have to have Kiddushin. There's holiness in Am Yisrael. You have to have Kiddushin and Nisuin. So you see, there is aside from the Isser Nida and other things, the Torah prohibits some levels. The Torah prohibits some levels. Rabbanon prohibited, meaning without kiddushin. So that might constitute the prohibition of zona. That's how the Rambam learns in Sefer Amitzos. In the end of Sefer Amitzos, the Rambam writes that way.
So what is kiddushin?
Kiddushin is the halachic designation of a woman to a man, that after the kiddushin there are certain obligations from one to another, but the main point is that she is an ashes ish. There's an isur yaharig val yavar to live with her. Before kiddushin, so anyone who lives with her, it might be znos, it might be a lav, but it's not yaharig val yavar.
So what's the...
To be with a woman without kiddushin is znus. To be with a woman without kiddushin is znus. Is an iser doraisa of znus. That's the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. Rambam writes... Is it? I'm not finding it, but it's here. Here. Amitzah Shinune, 355. Sheziranu shelo lavo l'isha v'lo k'tuba v'lo kiddushin. It's a biblical prohibition to be with a woman, to be intimate with a woman without ksuba and kiddushin. That's what the Torah says. Lo tiyek deisha mibnot Yisrael. The prohibition of prostitution includes any situation where it's without ksuba and kiddushin. Anytime they're intimate without it, that's what the Gemara calls bilas nus. The Torah repeats the warning, al techalel pitcha laznota. You have a few places where the Torah prohibits it.
But that's not applicable by goyim, by two goyim.
By two goyim, there's no problem.
Okay, so...
But here it's after Matan Torah. He's asking him 40 years after Matan Torah. He's asking Moshe, what's... So I'm saying, what you could answer me is that Moshe was never intimate with her. Uh-huh. But then, okay, and Moshe didn't want to answer that. Okay, it's a whole new shot in the sugya, whatever. So he comes and asks him, who allowed you? And then he goes and he's going to be intimate with this girl, this Midianite girl. So for that split second, Moshe was discombobulated. He forgot halacha. So Zimri goes and does what he wants. And Moshe, for a minute, forgot the halacha that he should stand up and kill Zimri. Ga'u kulam b'vchiya. So everyone starts weeping. Here the Nasi is publicly going with a Midianite woman. V'ainu dichtiv. What?
What's ga'u?
Ga'u is, they sobbed. They all sobbed weeping. That's why the pasuk says Moshe and the elders were all weeping. And then the Torah says Pinchas saw Mara'a. What did he see? Amarav Ramah seven iskar alacha. Pinchas saw what happened and remembered alacha. That's always something which I find tremendously challenging. We learn things in theory, and then when it comes to practice, it's like a different world. Did you guys ever notice that? I find that all the time. Until I don't have to deal with the Shaila and then look back in the Gemara, it's two worlds, the Gemara and the Halacha. And it shouldn't be that way. Pinchas wasn't that way. Yeah?
Can we say that this is the answer to Rashi above? A Kanoi remembers the Halacha.
He knows the Halacha. Okay. Yeah, that's what he said. It has to be that he knows the Halacha. Yeah. Yeah.
What are all the other people? Sure.
Right?
What's going on?
Okay, so it doesn't say here, but I'll tell you what the Gemara says in Chulin. There's a Gemara in Chulin that Rebbe made certain leniencies. He paskined in Halacha. He became the leader. He was the new Nasi, and he paskined new Kulos. Paskined Kula 1, paskined Kula 2, Beit Shan. Oh, we're all going to Beit Shan. So Beit Shan, Rebbe paskined Beit Shan. I don't know if that's today's Beit Shan. It's not a part of Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to be Mafresh Trumas and Maestros. So they asked him, Rebbe, with all due respect, your father was Nasi, your grandfather was Nasi, no one was Matir Beit Shan. Well, what gives you the oomph to be so confident to be Matir Beit Shan? So he answered them with a pasuk. It says, by Chizkiyo HaMelech, that there was a certain statue that people were worshipping, and Chizkiyahu came along and destroyed it. So people came to Chizkiyahu and said, your father was a tzaddik. Okay, not your father, your grandfather. So many tzaddikim were around, no one came and destroyed the statue. Why do you think you should do it? So he said, Makom inichalu avotai leitgadel bo. My parents wanted to leave me something to do in the world. There has to be something that I my claim to fame. So whatever that Gemara means, that was Rebbe's answer when they questioned him. Rebbe had good proof that Beit Shan wasn't a part of Eretz Yisrael, Paskin Mutter. So they asked him, hey, who are you? So he said, well, there's got to be something that's my job in the world, right? So he asked me, why isn't anyone else doing it? It's not their job. Maybe only the way the Gemara describes what the Rambam brings in the Akdama L'Pirusha Mishnah, that every time Moshe would come down from Sinai, he'd teach everything to everyone. It doesn't seem that way, but maybe. Could be. Well, Chazal say he spread out a tent publicly. His whole point was to do it publicly. Amalo Achi Avi Abba. So he turns to Moshe and he says, my grandfather's brother. Because Pinchas is Aaron's grandson. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. He says, grandpa's brother, my great uncle, lo kach li matani b'ritecha me'er Sinai, that's mashma like you. Isn't this what you taught me as you came down from Sinai? It's mamash mashma like you said. Or like you said, like Shlomo said, you taught me. And no, that's what you said, right? It's a mashma, you're right. The Gemara is mashma. He says, you taught me when you came off of Sinai. Habel takutit kanein poginbo. If someone is intimate with a kutis, then... those who are zealot can hit him. Amar lo, karyana digitayu leve parvanka. There's a saying, he who comes and reads the king's decree, he should be the first to fulfill it. That was a custom they had.
So, they want to take him out of the gather
of I don't know. You're saying this contradicts what Rav Chisda said.
Remez, right? Because if he were said, you're, yes, you're,
he didn't ask him. Wait, wait. He didn't ask him, should I do it?
What did you teach him this way? In other words, he wanted to get in a
psak. No, so Pinchas wanted to make sure he wasn't being more halacha lifnei rabo. Moshe is standing there. His Rebbe is standing and not doing anything. So that's called the more halacha. That's more halacha. An action is bigger than more halacha. We have a rule that maise rav is bigger than a hara. In a public action...
Every time a Rebbe teaches me something, I have to ask the rabbi right before again,
Well, I'll tell you, right? I was walking down the street with Rav Traeger 5 years ago, and a snake comes hopping across the street in front of us. Okay? Snake. I see a snake going from one side of the street to another. Okay? I didn't know if it was poisonous or not. So I'm talking to him, right? So I said, shouldn't I kill the snake? So he said, yeah. So I picked up a stick, and I killed the snake. Now, why did I ask him? Because there's a halacha that's in front of us. The Gemara in Shabbos Paskins, any snake you see, kill him. You don't know what's poisonous or not, don't wait to find out, right? You see a snake, if you don't know that it's not poisonous, don't wait to bite someone, kill it. But I'm standing in front of him. Why didn't he pick up the stick and kill it? I still don't know. Maybe he knew it wasn't a poisonous snake. Maybe. Oh, right. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But that's the halacha, that if my action is something that really he should do also, so then you shouldn't be more. That's called being more halacha, because you're saying, hey, why didn't you do it?
I don't understand something. Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the
halacha. Right. Right.
So all of a sudden you remembered it?
Yes. No, that happens.
Yeah. He remembered it.
Right.
If he remembered himself,
he should have gone.
Then why didn't Moshe go?
So that the Midrashim go into. The Gemara doesn't answer it. The Gemara just says that Moshe said to Pinchas, you're the one who called the shot, you should do it. The Gemara doesn't expand on it, but there are a few answers that are quoted. One answer is that this was an opportunity Hashem gave Pinchas. Another answer we're going to see as the Gemara proceeds, that it wasn't so simple. He was surrounded with 24,000 people. It wasn't like Moshe could run up there and do what he wanted. There were a lot of people in his way who were there to block his way, who were interested in undermining Moshe's authority because they knew their lives were on the line. All of Shevet Shimon. So Pinchas is now going to have to play a game in order to access Zimri, which we'll see in a second. So on the pshat level, right?
Yeah.
Right. So I'm saying in pshat that's a simple answer. In the midrashim there are other answers. Okay, I think we're gonna have to continue here next time.
But that's also part of the answer why nobody else, let's say, like Yoshua.
Ah, maybe, right, that's a good point, right? And Pinchas was being looked down upon because Pinchas wasn't accepted as a Kohen. He was the black sheep in the family. Pinchas was born before Aaron got the kahuna, and until this day, Pinchas was like the black sheep. So he had good cause that people should think that he was in cahoots with anyone against Moshe because Pinchas was being left out. So, yeah, that's a good shot, right? What you're saying is right, yeah. Yeah, okay, so... We'll pick up here. Yeah. Oh, so let's wait till we move forward in the Gemara. Right. Oh, that's okay. Let's wait till we see further in the Gemara, but remember that point. It's a very, very important point. Right. But still, how did he kill her? Oh, that's it's a good question.
Besides the point that he told her. But what did she do?
Right. Okay. So let's wait and see. That's she had a plan. She wasn't.
No, she had a plan, but there's nothing wrong with what she did according to her.
Oh, so yeah, okay. So I had an interesting question. We had a guy in our gear department who was not doing gear, okay? And it was very clear he wasn't going to do gear, okay? He's like, he kept saying he's going to do it. And he comes to me one day and he says to me, you know how many girls I passed from kahuna? Is that mutter or asa? What do you say?